fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Mali will meet South Africa, and Cameroon will play defending champion Nigeria in Tuesday's semifinals at the Africa Women's Cup of Nations football tournament in Ghana. The winners of the two semifinal matches will guarantee themselves a place at next year's Women's World Cup in France. And the losers also have a chance at France 2019. They'll play in Friday's third-place match, with the winner clinching Africa's third and final berth at the Women's World Cup. Joining us now with more details on the Africa Women's Cup of Nations is reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. Holders Nigeria and South Africa have joined Mali and Cameroon at the semi-finals of the competition after the completion of the group stage on Saturday. South Africa, who beat Nigeria and Equatorial Guinea in their first two Group B games, needed just a draw to progress, and they did just that against neighbors Zambia. South Africa, who beat Nigeria and Equatorial Guinea in their first two Group B games, needed just a draw to progress, and they did just that against neighbors Zambia, with both teams settling for a 1-1 draw in the Group B ultimate clash at the Accra Sports Stadium. Nigeria, on the other hand, accounted for Equatorial Guinea's 6-0 loss in Cape Coast to seal the second spot and join the South Africans at the last four. Thomas Denaby is the Super Falcons coach.
But of course, we are very, very happy to be in the same final. And we reach our first goal. Now the next goal is to secure a ticket to France next year.
Head coach of Bayana Bayana, Desri Ellis, says she was not impressed with the performance of her team against the Chipolopolo of Zambia, and that they will have to do better against Mali in the semi-finals.
If you can not play well and still grind out a result, it's also important because it shows that we can grind out a result. But, rather now than, especially in the semi-finals, we know it's a do-or-die match. It's our final. We've really got to be at our best. It's going to take a performance like the Nigeria type of performance to get the result and realize our ultimate goal of going to the World Cup.
For the semi-finals, Cameroon will face Nigeria in a repeat of the 2016 final in Accra, while South Africa will battle Mali in Cape Coast, both on Tuesday. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Aisha Folode is the leader of the Nigerian delegation to the Africa Women's Cup of Nations tournament in Ghana. She's also an executive member of the Nigeria Football Federation and chairperson of the Nigeria Women's League. Reporter Iron Mike Mbonye reached Aisha in Cape Coast, Ghana, and she said she's thrilled to once again see the Super Falcons of Nigeria in the semifinals.
I'm very pleased by our qualification. I'm very happy. I'm delighted by it. We expected us to get to the final of the AFCON for women here in Ghana, and we are on the road to the final. The girls indeed proved that they are the champions, that they are on the continent. We respected all the countries that we met on our road so far to the final. South Africa gave us a good game. They made us wake up. We didn't do well in our fourth match against South Africa, and the girls put that result behind them and went to against Zambia and proved that they have the quality that made them champions 2 years ago, that they still have the quality and the mentality to deliver this AFCON women to Nigeria. Today, it was the last group game and we met Equatorial Guinea, whom we defeated in the last game, and we are on the way to Accra, where we will play our semi-final against Cameroon. Cameroon is another very strong team.
Yeah, if I may come in here, Ma, what are your expectations in that the semi-final match against Cameroon?
Well, you know, when matches get to this stage in any tournament, it means that the best of the teams are the ones that are progressing. Cameroon is a very strong team on the continent. We expect that match to be very technical and tactical, physical. It's going to be the best match yet so far by the Super Falcons of Nigeria. Remember, we beat Cameroon in their own home soil 2 years ago to win our 8th edition of the AFCON for Women. We know that the opposition is a quality opposition. We do not underrate any team in this tournament. We haven't done that, and we are not going to underrate Cameroon. The Lionesses are a good match any day, but we know that our girls have got the quality, the mentality, and now their confidence is on the high that we see ourselves playing in the final, and that is when we cross the hurdle against Cameroon on Tuesday in Accra.
What message do you have for Nigeria regarding Falcons out?
Our message is we thank them for the support they have given us so far. The Nigeria Football Federation, they have given the Super Falcons everything that they need to be motivated and to excel in this tournament. Excelling meaning that we want to retain the championship. We also want to retain the trophy. We want to qualify for the World Cup, which is in France in the summer of next year. We thank all Nigerians for the support they've given to the Super Falcons. We want that support to increase in intensity, both in prayers and whatever kind of support that they can give. We would need it. And the players also, they are playing this for Nigeria. Anytime they win, they dedicate their win to Nigeria. It's for Nigeria. That is why they are here in Ghana. And we do not take their support for granted. We want them to give us more support. It's never enough. And the girls would do whatever they can in this campaign to bring back the title and also qualify for the World Cup in France in 2019.
That's Aisha Folode, the leader of the Nigerian delegation to the Africa Women's Cup of Nations football tournament in Ghana. She spoke with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Cape Coast, Ghana. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Meanwhile, local fans were very disappointed over host Ghana's elimination at the Africa Women's Cup of Nations. Our friend in Accra, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori, filed this report.
Ghana's campaign of host and win the AFCON 2018 came to an end when the Black Queens drew 1-1 with Cameroon in Accra. The Ghanaians, in need of a win against Cameroon to revive their host and win dream, took the lead with a free kick by Portia Boache, which beat Cameroon keeper Annette Inge Undong in the 32nd minute. But the Cameroonians, tactically better than their Ghanaian opponents, leveled the scoreline through a penalty kick in the 43rd minute. From the start of the second half, the Black Queens mounted a non-stop pressure and adopted a multi-tactics game plan. But the Cameroonians stood very bold to end the game with a 1-1 result. After the match, some disappointed Ghanaian soccer fans turned their anger on Ghana's coach Bashir Hayford for their early exit in the ongoing competition. But coach Bashir Hayford, at a post-match press conference, has this to say.
The girls also did very well, put up their best. It is not a reflection of the preseason because this is an improved game so far. And so the result is what people will consider as maybe not good because we wanted to qualify. We played 1-1 and we know how the equalizer came. It's all part of the game. So we accept it and move forward.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori in Accra.
Thanks, Kwabena. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Prince Nesta joins us now with a roundup of the weekend European club football action And Prince says he'll be kicking off with Gabon's 2015 African Footballer of the Year. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Gabon international Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang hit his 8th Premier League goal of the season to earn Arsenal a hard-fought 2-1 win at Bournemouth. Jefferson Lemar Hedalia scored a remarkable volleyed own goal to give the visitors the lead at the Vitality Stadium, with Joshua King levelling for the Cherries before Aubameyang's second half strike. Arsenal also extended its unbeaten run to 17 matches in all competitions and moves within a point of 4th place Chelsea and the Champions League spots. Dele Alli, Harry Kane and Son scored for Tottenham against Chelsea to inflict the Blues with their first Premier League defeat of the season. Chelsea did manage to pull a goal back with 5 minutes remaining when substitute Oliver Giroud powered a header low into the corner. Spurs are now fourth in the table with 30 points and face a crucial Champions League tie against Inter Milan on Wednesday. Chelsea dropped back to 4th place in the Premier League table with 28 points. League leaders Manchester City mauled West Ham 4-0 to record an 8th consecutive victory in all competitions and remain 2 points above Liverpool, who fired 3 late goals past Watford at Vicarage Road to maintain an unbeaten start to the Premier League season. Egyptian playmaker Mohamed Salah put the ball past Watford goalkeeper Ben Foster in the 67th minute before Trent Alexander-Arnold's stunning free kick and Roberto Firmino's tap-in added to the score. Liverpool are now unbeaten in 13 league games with 33 points, the most they've had at this point in a Premier League season.
Prince, still with the Premier League, you mentioned those victories by Man City, Liverpool, Tottenham, and Arsenal. Would it be safe to say Manchester United's fortress crumbled?
That's right, Sonny. Actually, poor finishing cost Manchester United during the weekend. Honestly speaking, if you ask me, there's some mediocrity right now among the players, and it's really affecting their game. For instance, their most dependable striker, Romelu Lukaku, hasn't even scored a goal at Old Trafford since March. Anyway, boos greeted the final whistle at Old Trafford as Manchester United started to a 0-0 draw against a struggling Crystal Palace side who haven't won a league game for 10 weeks. Manchester United manager Jose Mourinho later accused his players of not showing quote-unquote enough heart to win the game. The Red Devils have won just 3 of their 9 games at Old Trafford and currently lie 7th in the Premier League table.
Prince, let's move to France, where Thierry Henry earned his first win as Monaco's manager. A big win for Henry, Prince?
Oh yeah, absolutely. That was such an important victory for the Arsenal and France legend, Sonny. Henry celebrated his first victory as Monaco boss, thanks to Radamel Falcao's second-half free kick at fellow Ligue 1 struggler Caen. The 2017 champions had not won since 11th August. They had drawn 2. Lost 4 since Henry took over 6 weeks ago. Monaco are still 19th in the table, but moved to within 2 points of Caen and safety. Uruguayan striker Edinson Cavani notched his 9th league goal of the season for PSG with a close-range finish, as PSG extended its victorious streak to 14 matches by beating Toulouse 1-0. Star forwards Neymar and Kylian Mbappe were both out injured, but could return when PSG faced Liverpool on Wednesday. Olympique Lyon climbed 2 places up to 2nd in the French league after Belgian midfielder of Congolese descent Jason Denayer's goal gave them a scrappy 1-0 home win over traditional rival Saint-Étienne. Patrick Vieira's Nice also extended its match-winning streak to 5 games with a 2-0 win against third-place Lille.
Prince, Lille is also where Croatia lifted the Davis Cup tennis trophy over the weekend. VOA's Gwen Uten will tell us more about that a little later in the show. But Prince, let's stick with the European club football. I understand Portuguese superstar Cristiano Ronaldo broke another record, while his former team Real Madrid suffered yet another defeat. Prince, can you give our Voice of America listeners more details on these developments?
Of course, Sonny. Portuguese stalwart Cristiano Ronaldo became the fastest player in Juventus history to reach the 10-goal mark in a season as he opened the scoring for the old lady in the 29th-minute mark against Pau. Ronaldo, who's currently leading the Serie A goal-scoring charts alongside Piatek of Genoa with 9 goals each, also set up Douglas Costa and Mario Mandzukic for the second goal of the old lady at the Allianz Stadium. Ronaldo's former club and reigning European champions Real Madrid also succumbed to a 3-0 defeat at Eibar in Santi Solari's first match as the club's new full-time coach. Madrid have now conceded 19 goals in the first 13 matches of La Liga this year, the worst since the 2008-2009 campaign. Atletico Madrid and Barcelona also played to a 1-1 draw, opening the way for Sevilla to take the lead with a 1-0 home win over Valladolid. I'm Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sunny.
Thanks, Prince. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to athletics, Diane Vaughn is a member of the Council for Responsible Sport, an organization that promotes social, economic, and environmental sustainability in sports. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with Diane at the recent Athens Marathon in Greece and asked her about her work.
I was invited to Athens to talk a little bit about sustainability that they do here, and that was because my clients in Mexico City had the torch brought in for the 50th anniversary of the 68 Olympics. So in discussions and conversations, we were all on the same page that sustainability is an important part, and I was asked to come here and just visit Athens and open to the marathon here.
And so I presume that when you go around to races, not just marathons, but distance races, events, you're trying to encourage and give advice to events on how they can be more sustainability effective.
Yes. When I come to any event, I always look at the, first of all, environmental side, and second, the social responsibility. The AIMS group has a great green sustainable advisor, but it's always nice to hear from other people and hear other views. So we're just talking. We're just carrying that conversation forward.
And you mentioned AIMS. AIMS is the Association of International Marathons and Distance Races, and for the last few years it's been based in Athens, the home of the marathon, because it's the original marathon. And they're an umbrella body which has, well, I think over 400 members, that is, races around the world. Do you find on your travels that, depending on which continent you're in, races are more aware than events in other countries or regions?
I find that some countries are prone to being more resourceful with their money and using it wisely, and I find other countries are more wasteful in both their resources and their dollars. So I think when you can find the combination of someone who is careful to spend their money on products, say a reusable water bottle or a cover for a computer that you can use rather than a lot of paper and stuff that people don't really want from the race. And that's one good way to go. The other part is the social part. And that gives you an opportunity to work in your community, spend money in your community, involve your community in what you're doing.
Interesting you talk about reusable water bottles and paper cups, because I was recently at the Frankfurt Marathon, and that's an innovation they've put into practice this year. Talking about the social side, and the winner of this year's AIMS Green Award was the Swiss city Lucerne Marathon, and one of the points they made, and I know they're not the only one, was that encouraging people to use public transport to arrive at their venue, certainly in Switzerland, so that you got free public transport if you could show that you were a runner in the Swiss city Lucerne Marathon. So those are things which perhaps in the euphoria about marathon running, and oh, I'm going to run this or that race, one forgets that, especially if you're a foreigner, you're catching a plane, you're using hotels, you're doing all those things. I mean, it's good in one sense, but it helps to be aware of all the implications.
Yes, that is definitely one of the things we encourage, whether you're in Atlanta, Chicago, Mexico City, to have a bus pass or a metro route pass for anybody within the city, of course. The travel from distance is something that you can compensate for by offsetting your energy. You can buy offsets, or you can plant trees in your community, and it happens in Mexico City that they did plant over 100 trees to offset the carbon footprint, and that's pretty impressive from the Department of Environment to handle offsetting the footprint of the entire event.
That's fascinating insight to the background of marathons and road races, increasingly popular around the world, but the implications of what we all do when we're taking part. So, Diane, thanks very much, and look forward to hearing in part two about you and Douglas Wakahuri, but I'm just going to press the stop button right now.
And thank you, energetic Andy Edwards. Croatia won the Davis Cup tennis title over the weekend, beating defending champion France in Lille. Joining us with more details is VOA's Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The Croatian team lifted their Davis Cup trophy high in the air under a wash of fireworks and cheers. Their win marks the second Davis Cup title for Croatia, thanks to Marin Cilic, whose straight set victory over France's Luka Puja in straight sets handed Croatia their first victory since 2005. Cilic spoke after the match.
This is a weekend from the dreams, and it's just incredible, incredible feeling to play like this in a final without dropping even one serve in three singles matches. This is just incredible. The level of tennis from even today, Luka played the great match. First set was really, really tough. Just probably 1 point decided that tiebreak, and just extremely proud with the win.
Croatia enters the history books as the victors of the last final played before the century-old team competition receives a makeover. Under the new format, 18 teams will take part in a World Cup-style event. A group stage will take place over the first 4 days, where participating countries will be split into six groups of three. The six group winners and two best second-place teams will move on to the quarterfinal round. The revised week-long Davis Cup tournament will take place next November in Madrid, where Croatia will try to defend their title. Let's go from the clay courts to the golf greens, where there was another winner over the weekend in the United States. American golfer Phil Mickelson stepped out of the shadow of Tiger Woods to emerge victorious at Shadow Creek Golf Club in Las Vegas, Nevada. The $9 million winner-take-all exhibition came down to a sudden-death playoff between the two golf stars, where Mickelson sealed the deal with a 4-foot birdie putt to win the pot and bragging rights. After the match, Mickelson said it may not be the Masters or the U.S. Open, but it is something. And referring to his champion's belt, he said to Woods, "I will wear this belt buckle every time I see you." But despite his win, Mickelson tipped his hat to Woods, saying, "A day like today is not going to take anything away from his greatness. He's the greatest of all time." The event, which could only be seen on pay-per-view, was the first of its kind for the sport, with both athletes mic'd throughout the match and wagering side bets at various holes. That included that $200,000 bet Mickelson wagered ahead of the match, predicting he would birdie the first hole. Tiger won that bet, but Mickelson won three others. And in the end, Mickelson earned $600,000 in side bets. The $9 million in prize money was put up by corporate sponsors. However, that out-of-pocket money in side bets will reportedly be donated to charitable foundations of the player's choice. And that's all from me. Sonny, back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that wraps up the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, general elections are coming up in the Democratic Republic of Congo on December 23rd to determine a successor to President Joseph Kabila. An in-depth discussion on what's at stake in DRC's elections on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butty, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African music mix on the Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African music mix plays only the best.
Yes, sir. Two-Face, NATO C. Hey.
Tune in at 200, 300, 1200, and 1300 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
A growing body of scientific evidence has suggested that our prehistoric ancestors were responsible for the extinction of a number of large mammal species in Africa. The research suggests that large mammals were becoming extinct at a faster rate than smaller animals, starting around the time when early humans began making and using stone tools and weapons. Among the large, now extinct animals that roamed Africa were gigantic woolly mammoths, along with a variety of early hippos, giraffes, and white and black rhinos. A new study from a group of U.S. scientists suggests that a long-term environmental change, such as dropping atmospheric carbon dioxide, and not our early human ancestors, were mostly responsible for the disappearance of these large, ancient, and mostly plant-eating mammal species beginning about 4.6 million years ago. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London!
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on The Voice of America.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts covering Africa and the world news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.